It's lifetime.
Really?
6 o'clock, call this meeting in order, the Idaho Water District regular board meeting. We'll have a roll call. Mr. Davis? Are you here?
Sorry?
Mr. Davis, are you here?
Yeah, here.
Excellent. Mr. Sabati?
Here.
And President Shelley, I'm here. Mr. Kunkel is not feeling well, so he will not be with us tonight. Mr. Olson should be here, and when he comes in, I will appropriately admonish him to show up on time.
Hydrate game suspended.
That might be it. Any public comments? No? Okay, then we'll move right into the consent calendar. Mr. Davis, any questions on the minutes?
No.
Mr. Zabadi?
No.
Mr. Davis, any questions on the financials?
No.
Mr. Zabadi?
No.
I'll bring up something later, but during director's comments. Operations reports, any questions, Mr. Davis?
No.
Mr. Zabadi?
No.
I'd like to point out that the water loss is at 4%. I think that's exceptional. That's great work. Any public comments on the consent calendar? No? I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Motion to approve consent
calendar. Second, yeah.
First by Mr. Zabadi, second by Mr. Davis. No further comments. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, passes 3-0. We'll move into the general manager report.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with the staff report. Things that were accomplished since the last meeting. Again, Fern Valley 1A, the media resin change was completed, a success. We had to do several well tests, water tests, to put that well online. It passed all its tests. According to the state, we were able to put that filter or Fern Valley 1A back online into the system. We had all our generators serviced by Generac. They're all serviced and up to date, and they will be doing biannual services for those. We completed our electrical upgrade at the filtration plant up at Foster Lake. We had a new meter installed, 1-inch meter for Shane Stewart over here by the Chevron station. That is in service. We had annual maintenance on our gas, our fuel station, new hoses, filters, etc. Brought it up to date and current standards. Potable water project. For the shop up there at the lake, that's all complete. We have potable water for staff and the restroom up there and whatnot. We had a training here for leak detection that was performed by all three. It was attended by all three water districts. That meeting went very well. It was a 2-day class, 1 day in class training, and then the second day was out in the field using the latest equipment that the California Rural Water Association uses. And it was quite a learning experience for everybody. We had a leak on Meadow, which was repaired. Lab sampling, etc., was all came back in positive status. Active projects, we had tank number 3 continues that rehab on that tank. The interior is about 85. I would say it's probably 100% on the interior. The full coating's done. They found a few holes on the bottom of the tank, repaired them, and coated that. So they're working on the outside of that tank as we speak. And we're going to be having an upcoming sanitary survey from the state. That'll be coming up next month. And then Elko, they have pretty much finished that second phase from Jameson over to Fern Valley Road. They're working on the tie-in. They should be pretty close to wrapping that up. I am going to be working with them to give us a proposal going from Jameson up the highway over to the lake. That'll be a big job. There's going to be a lot of requirements for that, and there's going to be a lot more preparation, so it's going to take a little more time. But they will be working on that proposal. We are working on the lead and copper inventory. That's in progress. Staff, Tyler here has been working hard with staff on the outside to get that completed, and it looks like we're on target to meet the state's deadline for that lead and copper report that they threw on us. And so as far as operators go, we had two operators take two different certifications. Marcos took a T1 treatment one test. He passed that. He is now an official operator by the state. And then Nathan, he took a T2 exam and he passed that exam. So I want to give congratulations to those guys. They worked hard to study and take that test. And everybody, we have one person, which is the newest member, he's studying to take his examination for treatment. So he'll be doing that. The general manager's report. So again, we hosted that leak detection class. I want to point out on the second day, we went out to Tollgate because there's been an ongoing, we think there's been a leak out there, and we used that equipment to, just check out that whole area. And we had some good findings using that new equipment. Michael Sims, he was here for that training, and between Pine Cove, Fern Valley, and ourselves, everybody really liked what that equipment had to offer, and it's something that we'll be looking at here in the future. Our equipment is very dated, but I would like to be able to, at some point, upgrade ours. And Michael Sims gave all the staff, a lot of good training and pointers on what to do. And so it was very positive. So it turned out great, and everybody loved that training. On the 3rd, September 3rd, I met with a guy named Luis from Frontline Roofing. He's given me an estimate to re-roof the shop up there, because it is in bad shape. And so I'm waiting on that proposal to re-roof that shop, so those guys don't get rained on any further. Again, the rehab for Foster Lake is inside is pretty much done, and they're working on the outside. The wastewater treatment plant, we installed that new blower, but when you're installing a blower that size with the motor, the shafts have to be lined up exactly. We had the manufacturer come up, and they realigned it using laser technology and realigned it and put it up to manufacturer specs for us, so that it just prolongs the longevity of that equipment. And they made sure that everything was up to par and standard as far as our installation part of it. So that turned out very well, making sure that we're taking care of that new equipment. We had a leak on West Ridge. That was repaired. It was a Saturday. 6-inch main, that got repaired. very quickly. Staff responded quickly. And they were all called in on the weekend and showed up, fixed it, and worked very hard to get it done. September 10th, I had a three-way call with Andrew from Cozad and Fox, which is handling the acquisition, the land acquisition down at the sewer plant. There was a lot of confusion with the County of Riverside on how there was a wording issue, and there was it was just going back and forth, and nothing was getting accomplished. So I set up a three-way meeting with Andrew, Hosking, myself, and the county, and we got everything ironed out, and now they can complete the lot line adjustment and the
lot split.
The what?
Lot split, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the lot line adjustment and
final acquisition.
The final acquisition. So anyways, that's being completed as we speak. The County of Riverside is able to complete that report, and that we can wrap that up, and the Idlewild Arts can get their money. And then I'm happy to report on this one. September 12th, I received the 30% preliminary engineering report for the sewer plant. So we're in the middle of reviewing those plans. I sent them to DUDAC already. They're reviewing those plans on behalf of us, looking out for our best interests. So that's being done. Had a meeting with staff today to go over those plans and make sure that they're getting what they need down there, and it's not just, you know, a report thrown together and here's a plant for you. It's got to meet our needs, and it's got to be tailored to this community. So that's what we're focusing on. And right now there's been comments, and there's been some changes that they would like to see, but not too many. So right now it's looking pretty good. And I've touched on everything else. So these are photos of everything I just talked about.
Okay, you have to hang on.
There you go. You did it.
So that was the media replacement, Fern Valley, that large vessel there. All that, everything in it had to be sucked out and replaced. That's the crew that came up and actually did the work. This is the Westridge leak on the 6-inch main. It was a full day, but...
What kind of a gallon per minute, just to estimate, do you think that would be?
That was probably at least 10 to 15 gallons a minute. This is the same leak crew, just trying to get down to the leak itself, and you know what it takes to do that. This was after it was repaired. They put a strap band on it and stopped the leak. This is the training out in the field. This is down on Tollgate. Michael Sims down in there, lower right-hand corner. Those are some photos of some of the latest equipment that they use for leak detection. So everyone got hands-on training on that. We were all over that area.
Who's that blonde employee with the tie in her hair?
That's what was her name?
Katie.
She works at Pine Cove.
Pine Cove. She's new.
She's new, and they're actually using her to help do some field work. This is the inside of tank three. You can see all the walls and the ceiling are coated, the floor. They were prepping that for the coating and repairing those leaks that we had. So the floor is now coated. We had a leak on right there at the Shell station. This is the crew fixing that. It was a service line. They got that repaired in short order. We had a leak on Tollgate yesterday. Turned out to be a large leak. It was a very long day for everybody, but we got it fixed. It was a tough one. We ended up having to open up both sides of the road of Tollgate. We had it closed down to one lane. There was a leak on this service line going up to the house. The meter box is up on the hill. And then there was a problem here on the main side with the corp stop, so we had to fix that. This is inside. They're actually, they've got a, they're trying to extract a plug that's in the main line, which they did do, and we put a new corp stop in.
Corp stop?
Corporation stop.
Well, it's the company.
Yeah. We got new uniforms for everybody. So now everybody's wearing these uniforms, very identifiable and more professional, and it takes less stress off the crew having to do their own laundry, but everyone looks great in the new uniforms. And they're very proud to have them and wear them. And that's it.
All right. Mr. Davis, any questions?
Several. Chip, first, can the board express some appreciation there to our two operators that got their certification there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, we're proud of them.
No, I just think that, you know, that they ought to know that the board appreciates
yeah,
what they
I'll,
did.
I'll relay that to them for sure.
Accomplishments. Second is the West Ridge.
Can I mention something else as you say that? So if we were to put money into a fund that the directors had control over, which we're able to do now, we could actually, when they did something like that, give them a little bonus, like a gift card to In-N-Out or something like that, as a show of appreciation from the board.
Okay.
And so that's something we could do in the future once we fund that.
Thank you. The West Ridge leak, from the looks of the sand there, that's been leaking for a while?
No, it was not reported. It was reported on Saturday. So there were no signs of any leaks before that. It could have been a small leak, but it was probably, I think, more around a quarter size hole in that line. So it must have just popped. And so one of the neighbors called it in, and Brian got the call. He went out, looked at it, called me, let me know. And I said, start calling everyone in. And, you know, it's to me, it's impressive that, you know, on a Saturday, you can make a phone call to five operators and they all show up. So they're dedicated to this community and what they do.
Okay, and then the third thing was about the shop being re-roofed. I thought we were talking about maybe replacing the shop instead of just re-roofing.
We are, but I want to get a quote to see what today's cost is going to be. We know, we have an idea of what a full replacement is going to be, but I want to see what it's going to cost for that roof.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Zavadi?
I just want to say how impressed I am with Bill's performance, which reflected that the man now is well trained, and they showed up Saturday and fixed everything. And how impressed I was is initiative, getting to review the 30% and setting up all these meetings. So hurrah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I have just a couple questions. What are our top three priorities as you've been directed from the district, from the board?
Top three have been our two major projects, sewer plant and Strawberry Creek, and personnel and training for staff and retaining staff.
How do you think that's been going?
I feel it's everything's coming together. I feel we're on a good path right now. We've got a lot accomplished.
Good.
And I'm very happy finally with the progress, especially receiving the 30%.
Excellent.
And so I'm very pleased with it.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you. If we could, I'd like either at the beginning of the agenda or someplace on the agenda to have our mission statement in the future so that we could have that on there.
Okay.
Be just nice to see that every month.
Okay.
And make sure that we have that.
All right.
And now public comment, Steve.
I'm in a different leagues, Bill.
Yes.
Because it sounded like you had three different leaks and fixed them this month or whatever. How, and I heard the woman called in on the one on Westridge.
It was a homeowner. I'm not sure if it was a female or male.
And how about the toll gate at the other, because you mentioned, over by the Shell station.
Yeah.
How are they found?
They surface. They just come.
Water from
it's there. Water at, literally coming through the asphalt. So that's normally how we find it. Or if water could be leaking down here, say down a hill, but the first thing we start looking for are the mains, then service lines, and that's where all that leak detection equipment comes in. It helps us locate it. We can actually, when you set this equipment down on the ground, it actually listens and can hear the sound of the water spraying through the pipes, and you just got to slowly work your way and work to where it gets louder and louder. So there's a lot of different ways to track down a leak, because if a leak is showing up down here, it could literally be 500 feet up the road, but it's coming up down here. So it's a challenge. It can be a challenge, but 9 times out of 10, usually someone sees it.
And they're all on the streets?
Yeah.
All these leaks?
The toll gate leak was actually off the side of the road.
And it's just broken pipe.
Yeah, they're all broken. Old, you know, it's either old or a lot of the service lines cross under, you know, all our roads, and all the vibration and
makes sense.
It all, and if there's any rocks on those lines, over time it'll rub a hole in it, and it's, you know, all steel. So, and then you got to add the factor of corrosion over time, makes the walls of the pipe a little thinner, and you'll get a leak.
And you were talking about the leak detection equipment, but we don't have that.
We have it. It's just very outdated.
Oh.
And the technology has improved so much and gives the operators a better idea of locating where the leak is coming from. The sound can go deeper in the ground now, and the location as far as how deep we can actually go to locate a water line, or even now, like the one we were using that day, you can use it on water lines, sewer lines, electrical, all sorts of underground utilities. Our equipment is only strictly for water. So if we got an issue with sewer lines are much deeper than water lines. And they could be 8 to 10 feet deep. Our locators don't go that deep. So, you know, there's just a huge difference in technology right now.
Too much money.
Oh, yeah. It's all about money, but, you know.
Do you have any idea what this new equipment would cost?
The one that Mike uses is about
$60,000. Well, the locator was around 8 to 10. And that's, we can get a better price than that through Mike. If we're gonna be looking at that, but I'll be working with Mike on that as well to get a better price.
Steve, I'd also like to point out that just by happenstance, the day that we were having the training is a day that a leak was reported, and so the class actually went out to the leak and did part of the class on a real leak in the district, and were able to find it and fix it. So it's pretty fortunate for us that we had a training inside the training that was in the district.
Yeah,
it's just like in town, you know, when somebody's missing, comes out of town crier's publishing there. Yeah.
And we always try. We need one of those things for people.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Any other public comment? No? Okay. We'll move on to the next item, which is the vehicle report. The Board of Directors will discuss the existing vehicles and a replacement plan. I asked for this item. I just think that it's good for us to keep track of how many miles and how much money we're spending on the vehicles that we have. Vehicles are getting more and more expensive. Repairs, we'd like to see those at the minimum, but we'd also like to make sure that our vehicles are maintenance properly, and that costs also. So that's why I asked to have this report given. Are there any comments from staff on this report?
Yeah, we have some vehicles very old. We would like the board to recommend it to replacing those vehicles. And also the GM need a truck to be outside with the staff, because the 4Runner, to be honest, is not fit for his needs. It is 2014, and he like to have a truck too. So I really appreciate if the board can take a look. We have 2011 stick shift and 2012 automatic. And both the high expense for maintenance since being here. As you see, 13,025 for 2011 and 7,000 for automatic 2012.
So, couldn't we buy the manager a little electric car, a little spark car? He could drive that around the district. It'd be really inexpensive, really economical, and it'd be
horse drawn carriage.
Yeah. Or a horse. Yeah, a horse would be a good one too. But a little tiny car.
This would be nice for me. Oh.
That wouldn't work.
Doesn't work.
Okay, you can't fit enough equipment in a little economy car. You need a truck.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive, I imagine, so when it snows.
To be honest, I took the auditor in his car. I find the seat all the way back in the couch. And I was driving like 5 miles. I need to ask his auditor.
But it'd be a lot of fun to see Bill get in a little tiny subcompact car.
I pay for that any day.
It's a Toy Story.
Yeah.
Well, my grandfather at Santa Fe Irrigation District here, he drove a Ford Falcon as his work truck.
You're kidding.
A 64 Ford Falcon. Brand new, too. Uh-huh. And their heavy equipment, of course, was a shovel and a pick.
That sounds about right.
It would be very...
You're only 6'4", right?
Yeah.
6'5". Six five. Almost 6'5", it won't work.
Yeah.
6'5", we can't get him into that car.
So, I'd like to get recommended from the board. If I really appreciate to put the 2011 to auction and publish in the newspaper, and wait a little bit in 2012 for 1 year, and got two trucks. One for, because unfortunately I have one of the field work driving operation truck, unit number 8, which going all the way down in the downtown with a welding machine, with the generator in the truck. So I told him, dude, this is like very important stuff. And he said, I don't have a truck, otherwise I swing with somebody. So we found out.
So you're suggesting that we replace one of those right away, or is that the next budget year?
Yes, right away. So
right away.
If you don't mind, one for the field work and one for the GM.
So we would get, we would let go of the Forerunner, we would option it, or we'd keep that?
No, we keep the Forerunner, if you don't mind, for two reasons. First, for the girls, because I take liability if somebody come to check the mail and got hit, I'll be responsible to fix the truck. Second, if you go for training, you're welcome to use the truck for the company.
Oh, okay. Mr. Davis, any comments?
No, I think it's, you know, it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Okay. Well then, what's the budget on that?
Will be almost 110, one for, because one of the problems, sorry, another thing I'd like to bring it to your attention, that you have Tacoma right now, they have a small box. Right now, when the guys put the shelves of any equipment or any magazine, they put it outside the box, so Tacoma got shrinky with the box in the back, and Ben paid my attention, and he said, this is very dangerous for the guys to put the shelves on. All the shovels and all the stuff outside the truck, so we need to go bigger truck in the back.
Are we buying four doors or buying two doors?
We always buy four.
Okay, why not buy two doors and long bins?
They're not available there. Right now, the Tacoma started doing right now four doors with a tiny box in the back. I tried last time when I purchased 2022. Okay. They said we don't do that much to do, need to keep shopping all over United States.
Okay. What about a different manufacturer?
The only thing he found out, he can do it Thunder. The only thing he said, he has a big box in the back.
Well, no, I mean, what about a Nissan, a Chevrolet,
a
Ram?
We'll look at different options, for sure.
I'm just saying, you know, if the question is about putting our tools in the back, it sounds like we need to go with two-door long beds.
Yeah, but with the four doors, they're able to store more sensitive equipment in the back seats and extra gear that they need out in the field, whether it's extra boots, clothing, jackets. They're in the, you see the pictures, they're in the ditches, especially in the wintertime. You're taking clothes off, you're putting clothes on, or you're carrying waders with you. It's just a lot that they have to carry. And that extra cab gives them the space to keep the stuff they need dry, and then the paperwork, all that space is used for each operator.
Any questions, Mr. Zlotti? Okay.
I guess this is not an action item, so they basically, you should look into prices.
Right, we're just going to give them direction to go ahead and look into it, and then they'll come back to us with finalized prices, and we'll be able to prove that.
Right.
If that's a concern, have we thought about a van, a mid-sized van, that you could put a lot of stuff in?
The problem with those vans is they're, most of them are very low profile. They won't be cost effective in wintertime and getting around up here. And the smaller ones aren't four-wheel drive until you get into the bigger ones. And then you're getting into high dollar, actually probably more than a truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to see a price on a full-size truck. Four-door, you can get the four-door full-size.
Two trucks,
yes.
One for GM and one for Ford.
Right. If we could just see the price on a full size, the Tundra is full size, and
GMC.
GMC, sure, a Sierra or something like that. Steve,
do we run into any problems as far as electrical vehicles? I mean, are we at a point where we can't get gas? Have to go electrical, or isn't there a mandate that says at some point?
The only thing for electric car, I like to purchase a Tesla for my personal, but to be honest with you, I found out just like getting drained with the cold weather. So it's better getting drained so quick.
But we do, we don't have a mandate yet.
Okay.
And we don't see a mandate in the near future. I think it's 2030.
2035.
So we still have, yeah, we've still got a window that we can use. Yeah, gas vehicles. All right, so we're just going to direct staff to go ahead and look into prices on that and bring it back to us. All right, the next item is the wastewater treatment plant. Is there any other comments you had on that?
No, I just met with staff today. Dudek has the 30% and they're looking over it on our behalf.
Okay. Mr. Davis, any questions?
No.
Mr. Zabadi?
No.
I don't have any questions on that. Any public comments? No? Okay. Is okay. It's just a discussion item, so continue following up on that and we'll see where it goes. Director's comments, Mr. Davis?
None.
Mr. Zabadi?
No.
I only have one comment. On the Time Warner bill, it was $2,400 for the Time Warner bill. I understand that's because we have T1 lines that go to the lake. We have T1 line at the treatment, the wastewater treatment plant. We have T1 line here. And I understand the importance of those because we have confidential information and we have sensitive infrastructure that's life-sustaining and important. So I understand that. The importance on that. I'd like us just to check because I know that a couple other people on the Hill have T1 lines and they're paying somewhat less. And so just if you could check with the other companies and get a price comparison, if we're right where we should be, fantastic. If we're not, then perhaps we can get a better price on that. And if you could report back at the next meeting where that's at.
The only thing I'd like to mention for you, Mr. President, was the water. Nobody will provide service over there.
Oh, okay.
So
we can't get any lines up there to anybody else anyways.
They can trench special for us a cable from Time Warner all the way to the sewer. Mm-hmm. This is why we have a Time Warner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got a custom thing there, and that's probably why we have to pay a premium is to get that custom thing done.
Remember Mr. Jack Hovland, the ex-manager, tried to do a deal with either Wild Art to share with them the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They're using a tower and they refuse to share internet for security reasons.
Okay. All right, so it might already be done.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't have any other comments. Any other public comments? If not,
motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Oh, can I have one more comment?
Yes, you may.
Just so we cap, that there was this last meeting you voted to increase your stipend to $75, saying that other local districts pay their board members $75, but I just realized that Pine Cove pays $50, and that's it wasn't so.
Yeah, my understanding was they were, so it was my mistake. Yeah. Okay. All right, we have a motion. Go ahead. Thank you. At our next board meeting, we'll be meeting at the fire station because we're going to have construction going on in here. And so we'll have the same time, same date as we normally do, but it'll be over at the fire station. And we want to thank the Idyllwild Fire Protection District for allowing us to meet in their facilities. We continue to improve our relationship with all the agencies on the Hill, and we look forward to meeting there next month and perhaps the month after, depending on how construction goes.
And that's at like the far door on the
correct.
Of the lake.
Yeah. So if there's no other comments, we have Mr. Davis.
No.
Oh,
second.
Yeah, we have a first and a second on adjourn. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Adjourn until next month at the Idyllwild Fire Protection District. Yeah, sometime in the
don't forget to take a picture.
Correct.
I don't think he's.